charges filed against Officer...
With respect to item 11. Thank you. Mrs. Boyd?
Thank you. First and foremost, I would like to say thank you to the Commission for making it possible for the OCC to bring charges in my son's case before the running of the statute of limitations. Secondly, I would like to say thank you to Kevin Allen. Thank you very much for standing up. I know this was a difficult case, and I know it's a very difficult case, but I appreciate your hard work, and I appreciate the hard work of the OCC in standing up and bringing these charges, because they need to be brought. You represent us. You represent the citizens of San Francisco, and I thank you for that. I know I gave you a hard time the last time at the last commission meeting, but I was scared and I didn't know what was going to happen. So thank you to all of you. Thank you very much. This is the first step in the right direction. It's the first step in the right direction for us and for other families. We're not the only ones, and there are many others. And we want the process to work because we want this process to work for everyone. We want the process to be fair. We want equal treatment. No one should be above the law. Not me, not you, not anyone. Not anyone on the San Francisco Police Department. We want the process to work for everyone. When an officer's conduct is wrong, it is wrong. When the conduct is such that it endangers the life of the public and the community needs protection, that is what the OCC, that is what this commission should do, that is what we want. My son's life was endangered, but so were many other people that day. It was wrong for the police officers to shoot my son. He was a disabled man. Disabled man, he had no legs. He was out of his car and he was surrendering. He had his hands raised. He should not be dead. It was wrong. Now, I know the charges don't address that, but they address issues that led up to that. And because those charges address the issues that led up to that, it is my hope and my belief that the charges will reveal further the truth about what happened that day. Based on what the officers said themselves, that's how we got a report filed by the OCC. It was their own statement that led to the OCC filing charges, because my son is not here to tell you what happened. There was a total lack and a total disregard for all human rights that day. That is why we are here today. And this is not an isolated event, and we hope that in the future you will bring charges and the police commission, the OCC, will consider all facts relating to the shooting death of Gus Rugley and all other victims of police brutality since the shooting death of my son and those before. I have some concern about continued harassment. On the day of our rally, which was May 5th, the one-year anniversary, we were harassed. We were harassed by police officers who came to the park and took license plate numbers, looked in the cars. My car was broken into. My attorney's briefcase was stolen. There was very important information in that briefcase, and it was stolen. We filed a report. I don't mean to go over my 2.5 minutes, but I just wanted to mention that I have some concern, and I would like to know more about Commissioner Chan's authority in working on this case, because he had expressed some concern that perhaps the OCC didn't have the right to bring these cases or to bring these charges at this date. So I would question whether he can be fair in the presentation and making and investigating and ruling on information concerning my son's case with this commission. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Steve Currier, President of the Atomisha Residents Association, and also a volunteer at Ingleside Police Station. When I read the newspaper on Thursday and read Commissioner Keene's remarks, I was angered and I was dismayed, because he was concerned that OCC did not file the charges against the officers and that we were coming on the 11th hour. And then reading the paper on Saturday, seeing that the charges were filed, I thought, why now? Why didn't they do it 6 months ago? It angers me. It angers members of my association. It angers members and community members of the Ingleside Police District to think that the officers that are putting themselves on the line every single day could be shot. A few weeks ago, I was a rater at the oral boards, where we saw 970 candidates come through. And I thought to myself, you know, I feel sorry for these guys and these women who are applying to be an officer because they have to deal with this. Thinking that somebody with a gun pointed at them, they're going to sit back and go, well, you know, I wonder what the commission is going to do to me, or wonder what OCC is going to do to me if I pull my gun and I shoot this guy who's threatening my life. I think it's a sin. I think it's shameful. I think it's really shameful. And, you know, a week ago Monday, I was invited to go to Officer Larry Lassiter's memorial service in Concord. And sitting amongst 2,500 peace officers, police officers, and sheriffs throughout the state of California was one of the most exhilarating experiences I've ever had. But it was also very moving and depressing to know that this officer did his job, just like the officers did the job the night that Cameron Boyd was down. Cameron Boyd was not a choir boy. He was not a model citizen. And he had a rap sheet longer than the Bay Bridge. Excuse me.
Order.
I want to make sure that when I'm on the street, I'm in my car, I'm at the grocery store, that I'm being protected by the police officers in San Francisco. I have every single trust. We know that there are bad apples in every organization. But you know what? I think that the police officers did the job that they needed to do that night. And I support the SFPD. And I hope that when Commissioner Chan looks at these allegations, they will not be charged and you will vote that these officers did the right job. Thank you.
Next speaker.
My name is Isabella Gonzalez, and I can say I'm from Ingleside as well, and I can bring a lot of people, and I know a lot of people that differ with this view. Just like in every neighborhood, there's different views, but what's also moving and depressing are seeing the families of all the victims that have been shot wrongfully, seeing the families, especially when they've been shot by an officer, somebody in authority. That is very moving and depressing, as well as seeing officers that have been killed. That, I do agree, is also moving and depressing. If officers are hired to enforce law and follow the rules, obviously we see that some of them cannot. So since they can't follow them and enforce it, how are they supposed to enforce the rules when they can't do it? So I really hope you guys look at everything, and I want to say thank you for bringing this and not letting the statute run out on this and dragging it on for so many years and keeping us and my daughter and his other daughter just going. Thank you.
Thank you.
I had a speech here. I'm not going to give it. I'm going to talk from my heart. Yeah. First of all, Mr. Keene, thank you for your weekly diatribe and lecture to my police officers. I'm sure they feel very comforted by you. You know, every week for the last year, people have been coming into this room and referring to my officers as murderers, criminals. And I can't remember one time, Mr. Keene, when you ever corrected them, chastised them, or said one damn thing to them. But tonight you are absolutely astonished at everything that's happened. You come in here and you grandstand, and it is absolutely shameless. There's many facts in this case that I'm not even going to bother going into. There's people coming into this room tonight to somehow vindicate the actions of OCC as if these officers were somehow have sustained complaints for the scene of the shooting. There was not one sustained complaint for the scene of the shooting. which I'm sure you're all aware of, and anybody that bothers to read the charges would know. So what happened in this case was that... Are you going to let me speak, or everybody else can speak?
Please be courteous. Please be courteous.
So Kevin Allen comes into this room last week and says there's absolutely no evidence and circumstances to file the charges before the chief has 60 days to review. He's badgered, he's humiliated by Mr. Keene, and then all of a sudden, 12 hours later, miraculously, there are now evidence and circumstances. What are they? What were they? We still don't know. We'd like to have the chief of police come up tonight and find out, perhaps from the city attorney, what exactly evidence and circumstances were. So now we've got a situation where every officer at the scene of the shooting has been exonerated by the district attorney's office, by a police department homicide investigation, and by OCC. But here's where civilian oversight completely and totally falls to the ground. Political forces become involved. Somebody's got to go down. Mr. Allen, go find something. Go find something. Retrace the steps of every officer that responded that night and find a technical problem. Didn't ask for permission to respond to the chase. Holding a gun at port arms. This is what we end up with, and this is why this body wonders why cops don't trust civilian oversight. Yeah, it is a setup, and I'll say it again, it's a setup. And we're watching this, and we're going to make sure that, Mr. Keene, when you get out of your little circle here where you can grandstand every week, where the real world exists, then we'll see the truth, and we'll see the story. Thank you.
Order. Next speaker, please.
Please come to order, ladies and gentlemen.
Next speaker.
My name is Michael Cerujo, president of the Latino Peace Officers Association of San Francisco. President Delanus has stated a lot of what I wanted to state here already. So I will go ahead and state what he hasn't stated to you regarding this body. I was at the supervisor's office when all of you were talking to the supervisors on why you should become a police commissioner. I was concerned. When the cases came up of Fajita Gate and I seen how the officers were attacked, I was concerned. When this came up and I see on the front page for about a week how the officers killed this person, and then a week and a half ago, I see on page 4 of the B section that the officer was cleared, but yet they're now facing administrative charges before this body, I was concerned. Tonight, what I just heard from Commissioner King, I'm really concerned now. I mean, to be such an advocate and to state that you were responsible for creating OCC, and OCC, Mr. Davis, Mr. Allen, I have the greatest respect for you. I have Tony Flores, our vice president, has talked to you at length on a few occasions, and he has the greatest respect for him. And to say that it's courageous for him to do his job, I think is a stretch. That's his job, what he's doing now. But to put exigent circumstances on it, I think is a little far-fetched, and it seems like right now that the police department is a punching bag for this commission. And what I'm stating right now is that from the time I came in 2 decades ago, that we always looked at this commission as being our boss. The chief reports to you. The discipline comes from you. Our policies come from you. Our commendation and awards come from you. When you stated, Commissioner Keene, last year that you were civilian oversight and you were going to change the department, it's like, how are you civilian oversight? You're our bosses. OCC is our civilian oversight. And I think that message had been lost in the cloud of Fajita Gate. And I'm sorry that that happened. But I think somebody has to be brought back to the Senate to say that you're our bosses, and instead of degrading your employees, maybe you should find a way to fix what you say is wrong rather than just hurling the degrading statements that you make to us. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Malika Parker with Bay Area Police Watch. First I just want to agree with what the previous speaker said. You need to do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take cops that kill people, that put guns in the faces of people that are trying to see what's happening in their neighborhood. They're not supposed to be on the force. They're not supposed to be on the force for our protection, but they're also not supposed to be on the force for the protection of other officers. Now, it's interesting to me, and I'm not going to get into the whole POA thing, because really what this is about is this family that's sitting here, Cameron Boyd's family and Gustavus Rugley's family. And that's what it's about, and Sheila DeToy's friends and family. Because they're the ones that have to deal with this on a daily basis. But it is interesting to me that every single time a cop does something, then, it's just one bad apple. And the thing is that it's their job. It's their job to protect the law. It's their job to follow the law, the same way that it's Kevin Allen's job to investigate fairly in an unbiased manner. Same thing about the officers. They are not hired to be the judge and the executioner. They are hired to protect and enforce the law. They are not hired to run around San Francisco killing black men over and over and over again. They are not hired to kill a 17-year-old who did absolutely nothing wrong, and there's been no kind of accountability that's happened because of that. All we're asking is that this case be looked at fairly, that it be looked at in an unbiased way. All we're asking is that there not be a 10-year reign of terror like there was with the previous commission. That's all. And it's interesting to me that the POA and this room full of supporters of the police department have not taken a second to hear from these families, have not taken a second to look at it objectively. But yet we're supposed to say, oh, okay, you killed my family member. You killed somebody that I love. You killed my child. You killed my friend that I grew up with. And I'm going to listen to your perspective. It doesn't really work that way. There's an issue that's happening. Whether or not you believe that the officers were right or wrong or whatever, there's an issue that's happening. If people are feeling like their family members are being killed and it's unjustified, there is an issue that needs to happen. That means that police are not doing their job. Their job is to be part of this community and to have the respect and admiration of everyone in the community, not just white folks, not just people with money. And it's not acceptable for this to continue. I do want to say that this is an amazing day. This is an amazing day for people that have been working, dealing with police commissions, dealing with the San Francisco Police Department for the past 10 years. This is a day that is signaling that this police department is changing. And hopefully that's for the better, not just for civilians, but also for police officers. We all want to be able to come into this room and say, this officer did a wonderful job in the Bayview, in Marina, in Petrel Hill, in the Western Addition, in all of the parts of San Francisco, but we can't do that. And until we can, then it's not an adequate policing system. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. I want to start by saying thank you to the OCC for having the courage to bring those charges against the officers that killed my nephew, Cameron Boyd. As for Mr. Delanus, his remarks about the truth, he wouldn't know the truth if it came up and slapped him in his face. Okay. If the truth had been revealed the way it should have been, if they really wanted truth, then there would be some officers who would have been arrested by now for murdering Cameron Boyd. If the truth had been revealed, if the DA had had half the courage that the OCC has to truly do a true, thorough investigation by unbiased, really speaking the truth, there would be some San Francisco police officers sitting in jail awaiting trial for the murder of Cameron Boyd right now. So I'm really just disgusted with the behavior of Mr. Delanus and some of these other people who are supporting him. This is about truth. This is about the loss of a human life. It is never okay to take a human life. For those people who think it is okay, when they come to the end of their life
and have to face judgment, which all of us will one day at our, upon our death, we will all have to be held accountable for what we do. And to think that it is okay to destroy human life, they are going to find out, they're going to be in for a rude awakening, because it is never okay. It is never okay. And there was an opportunity for them to do the right thing, which is what the OCC is saying. This thing of shooting in a car was not, it was a violation. They had no reason to shoot at him. He was not a threat to them or to anyone else. So these charges are correct. Greater charges should have been brought against them. But we are happy for what has occurred so far, and we're thankful. And this is just the beginning. And when the truth is really revealed, somebody is going to be held accountable, and there will be people from the San Francisco Police Department.
Good evening. Well, being sensitive of everyone here who's lost someone, a family member, has been shot and murdered by the police, and I show y'all the utmost respect and love. To everyone here, I want everyone to realize something. We're all human beings in this room, and we're all human beings. We all sit and use the restroom. We all wash each other's hands. We all wash our hands. We all bleed the same color blood. You know, we all get up in the morning, we all breathe the same air, we all talk, oh, brother and sister, and love this, and God this. Okay, well, if we have people here tonight that are religious, then I want you to consider this, okay? Now, life is a precious thing. Thou shalt not murder, you know what I'm saying? Like Cameron Boyd was murdered by those police officers. Now, they were not right for murdering Cameron Boyd. Okay, please, everyone here, when you say things, please show respect for a man who is dead. Cameron Boyd is a man. He's the father of two beautiful little girls, and he was murdered. So when you speak of him as a man. Do not talk about his past. Everyone here has a past, even police, even myself. No one's perfect. We're dealing with now, okay? Now, my life is good. Hope everyone else's life is good. But my life would be better if this was a just world and there was a whole lot more justice. Everyone was fair to each other. Everyone loved each other. And people didn't disrespect people. But now, since this is not a perfect world, that's how I just have to deal. But anyway, all I wanted to do was make sure everybody keeps in mind that they need to respect one another. Now, with people sitting up here disrespecting, you know, one another, you can pretty much tell what their personality is like. And now, do you really want that type of personality protecting and serving you? Do you want that type of personality out there holding a gun? Now, okay, now that same person might look at me and be like, okay, well, he's a thug, or, you know, whatever, you know, prejudgmental type of attitude they may have. But I'm saying this, you know, thou shalt not judge. Be careful how you judge people, because that's how you will be judged, you know. And as far as the guy that's concerned about, you know, his friends being shot, I understand that. Just like I'm concerned for all my brothers that's being shot at and have been shot, and my friend who was murdered. Please respect his family. Please respect me. Please respect Cameron Boyd.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
My name is Edward Pollard. Mr. King, I have to give you a standing ovation, sir, for what you just said tonight. And you, OCC, I gotta say, I gotta take the pink slip back away from you. You're on your job, okay? But that one that was up here with the hair go back, he's a joke. He ain't got no heart. He was on Channel 2 the next morning after they killed my nephew, Gus Rugley, saying that they killed a known criminal. He wasn't no criminal. They counter us outside as gang-related. You ain't got no police force. You got people that take in their mind to do what they want to do to everybody else because they got a badge on them. I'm like this. Take the badge away. Put people in office that's going to help you, that's going to help the community. Without the community, you don't have no jobs. You don't have no paychecks coming. So think about what I'm saying. Get rid of your criminal cops because they're pushing the public too hard. And when you push the public into the corner, the public's going to come out, and they're going to come out fighting. And you ain't got enough officers to take care of the public out there. So think about what I'm saying. Get rid of your bogus, crooked, killing officers, especially the one that was just up here in his suit. He's a joke.
Next speaker.
Good evening, Commissioners, Vice President Orr Smith, members of the Commission, Chief Long, Director Allen.
Sir, please refrain. Be courteous to the Speaker.
Members of the public, members of the command staff, and members of my department. I have to say that I believe that morale in our police department is at a new all-time low. I sat and I listened to this commission and this body at last week's commission meeting, and I have to say, Commissioner Keene, not just you this time, where I, the only person concerned with and the only commissioner whose comments disturbed me, but I have to say tonight that Commissioner Veronese, quite frankly, sir, some of the comments that you made concerned me greatly. One of the biggest issues that we face or that we have as police officers and what we abide by are our Police Officer Bill of Rights. 3304 is a major, major issue to our officers. And our rights under 3304 are continually violated. I sat here tonight and I listened to Commissioner Keene berate Gary Delanis, the president of our Police Officers Association, and somehow accuse him of being responsible for the 3304 issues that face our department. When last I checked, the president of the Police Officers Association only deals with 3304 issues when they are violated. And that's what is continually happening to our officers. I am a police inspector here in San Francisco. Several of you are lawyers on this body. If I take a case before a judge, after the statute of limitations has run, a judge would look me in the eye and, quite frankly, laugh me out of the courtroom. I have to agree with another statement made by Gary Delanis this evening, and that is, when are the police officers in San Francisco going to hear an encouraging word out of this commission? It's despicable to me and to my members. And just to state for the record, I represent the over 200 lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered officers in the San Francisco Police Department. I have been to these meetings over and over again, and I have yet to hear an encouraging word, particularly out of you, Commissioner Keene, and some of you are supportive. And we'd like to think that this body of commissioners can be supportive of the job that we do. But when we continually hear disparaging remarks about our officers, criticisms about the president of our Police Officers Association, it really makes it difficult for us to feel good about doing our job. I would hope that what we will see in the future is more support, a bit more support for the men and women that put their lives on the line every day for the citizens of this city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Leroy Moore. I'm an African-American disabled advocate. I just came back from Baltimore, where another case of police brutality against a disabled African-American man happened in April 1st. And you know what? The feds is in Baltimore now. I am totally happy with what's going on. I think it's good recognition to the family that pushed the OCC and this commission to do their job. How can we sit here and say that a person with no legs is guilty? How can we say a person with no legs don't need their time in court? Because I've researched this topic for almost 15 years, I'm putting on an exhibit of police shooting of people of color with disabilities at San Francisco State from June 8th to the 12th. I hope the police and other people will come and listen to the stories that I have collected throughout this U.S. in San Francisco. Once again, how can we say a person with no legs and their family don't get their time in court? Today is an extraordinary day, but we have to give our hats off to the family that pushed this city, this commission, and the police department to do their job. Thank you, Cameron Morey's family, to represent my disabled brothers and sisters here on earth and out there in heaven. Thank you.
Hi, me again, Elvira Pollard, the mother of Gustavus Rugley. I was disturbed by what I seen this week on the TV, the police chase. If it wasn't for that camera, gee. First they said it was 80 shots, then it retracted. It was 120 shots. Then, oh, he doesn't have a weapon. But did you guys see the way they shot him? Did anybody see that? My son was shot from the front to the back, front, right, left, right. He didn't have a chance to get out of his truck just as that guy did. That was just murder in the worst way. I mean, when you don't get out of a truck, your hands are in a surrender position. That's where me and Merlin Boyd come in hand in hand. Our son's witnesses stated that their hands were up. Surrender position. I don't know what other position you can get. I have bullet wounds under the arms. I do. His arms have bullet wounds under the arms. There's bullet wounds. You can't get them laying down or doing something but none other than this. Who took his life? Who was the judge, jury, and executioner that day? Our greatest San Francisco police. Our finest. I can't say that I judge all police, but I'm very judgmental to some after this day. When I've seen the biggest commanders out there high-fiving, slapping five, they had killed a thug who did the investigation. How was Kamala Harris' office entwined? Because they went and got the warrant. Who did the investigation? That's all I'm saying. Now that Kamala won't give them the okay to kill somebody, they're going through to get these million-dollar warrants, and they're killing these men. Let a million-dollar warrant be on someone's head, he's dead at the end of the day, especially if he gets in a car and there's a car chase. That's not fair. My son gave up at the end of the chase. I couldn't take it. It was his birthday not too long ago. That's not fair. I had a child that should be here. As I said again, there were judge, jury, and executioner. I hope you guys stop this. And one more thing, 8.11 should have never been changed. I brought that up for a reason. When I got the autopsy said there was none of what they said in the newspaper, but you guys changed it. Once I got the autopsy, it did state that. My son didn't shoot. Who did the shooting? Our finest. I trust some of them. I can't say I trust all of them because I'm not judgmental like they are. Some police officers are corrupt. I'm not going to say they all are. Some of us are corrupt and some of us are not. But that's just people. We deal with people every day, so quit being scared. If this is not the job for you, go sit down and do a desk job. Quit being a happy trigger cop out here on these streets, because one day, all of this is going to come back to you. Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Ken Malcheski. I'm an attorney here in San Francisco, and I've filed a number of complaints against San Francisco police officers over the years and appeared before this commission on numerous occasions. And I can say from personal experience, until recently, the OCC probably mishandled just about every complaint I ever filed. So Some complaints weren't decided for years. It would take 2 or 3 years to get a decision. Then they would just kind of disappear. And the Dolores worked a case. Finally, a sustained complaint was sent to the chief, and the chief decided not to file administrative charges against the police officer who nearly beat Dolores Martha to death. And that police commission refused to order then Chief Frank Jordan to file charges against the police officer who beat Dolores Martha to death. And the officers involved in that case were actually promoted, just like in the Sheila DeToy case. And I'd also like to thank OCC Director Allen for actually filing these charges in this case on a timely basis. But it seems to me that the issue here is not really the POA, and I'm not a big fan of the POA. But I think that's really a bogus issue, and I don't think we should get caught up in this whole POA issue. Because police officers do have a right to representation, so that's not the issue. The issue is, why do these cases take so long to investigate and to be filed? These are administrative complaints. These aren't homicide charges. These aren't criminal charges. And I know at least some people here know that in a felony criminal case, defendants have a right to a jury trial in 60 days. Even in the murder cases, even in special circumstances, the defendant can have a trial in 60 days if they've been indicted. Why does it take a year to file an administrative complaint? And I don't mean to criticize Mr. Allen. It's probably not his fault. But why in the Sheila DeToy case does it take years and years and years to even have an administrative hearing? It seems to me there are very deep still, despite the best efforts of everybody here, there are deep-seated problems in the whole system. And they're not with the POA, because the POA is on the outside. They are in the inside, within the SFPD. Why aren't these documents? Why isn't there more cooperation? And are there problems in the OCC still? And I don't mean to single out Mr. Allen, but there have been historic problems in the OCC. It has been, for the most part, a dysfunctional agency with ineffective directors for most of the time. And some people may not want to hear that, but that's true. And I think it's incumbent upon this commission to deal with these issues in a public fashion. Why are these investigations taking so long to even get here? And no less to even have a hearing. Why does it take a year in a non-homicide case to file a complaint? And you can look the other way, Ms. Horsmith, but why? When is this commission, when is the department, and when is the OCC going to say publicly, when is somebody going to really grab the bull by the horns and say, what is going on within the department? What is the pattern and practice that delays these hearings? Why do we still have so many young people of color being killed and then nothing being effectively done to re-educate and discipline these officers? But I think at some point in time, this commission has to publicly deal with the continuing structural problems in this whole system. Thank you.
Thank you.
Frank Martinez Campos, SEIU 790. I wish to address the process that we've seen tonight and to address an issue that I think has been unfair to some members of this commission. My recollection is that this commission was reconstituted based upon a public vote, right, over an immense perception, right, based on reality, I believe, that there was no accountability and there was no redress on this commission. And what you have been subject to today, and what I will undoubtedly be subject to tomorrow, right, and other days for rising up to raise concerns of our members, and to which I have no problems because I am at peace, right? I urge you to keep peace within yourself, because when you know you're doing the right thing and you know that you're reflecting the will of the voters, which you are, the composition of this commission reflects a deep-seated need for change. And when you consider that for so many years, right, the some people were out and had no redress, and that's not good for society, that's not good for the youth, that's not good for our families. So I submit to you, stay steadfast. Personal assaults will leave, and diatribes will not hurt you. When you stand on the right side, I believe you are, and if, in fact, an officer is unfairly charged, they have a defense right? They have the ability to advance it. They have money, and they have attorneys, and they can make their appeals, right? And they can take care of themselves, and undoubtedly they will. So I submit to you, you're doing the right thing. Don't be fearful of the comments, and don't be swayed by them. You're doing the right thing. And again, I'm very pleased to have you, and any union rep that's concerned about accountability might take a look at their leadership role on what they're advising their members to do or not do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening. Michelle Savis from the Gisele Foundation. I wish I would have Mr. Gary Delaney's theatrical, very rigorous effect that I can only talk from my heart, to paraphrase him. So from the heart, I want to say, Rodney King is still alive. Amadou Diallo, Sheila Gitoy, Cameron Boyd, Gus Wrigley, Yves Telly have lost their lives unnecessarily. The incredible courage and persistence of Mrs. Marilyn Boyd and Mrs. Alvara Pollard, the mother of Gus Wrigley, is a constant inspiration and hope for all of us families who have lost a child or a parent to law enforcement. The community is increasingly aware of the momentum that our movement for justice for police accountability is taking. Rudy Cardenas' case in San Jose is in the process of settlement. Sheila Maya in Union City, her case is now three-quarters towards a victory. Every time that there is an outrage, every time we suffer death, the movement is growing stronger. Because we're not interested in money, we're not interested in power, we're not interested in fame. We only want justice for our lost babies. On June 12th at San Francisco State, Mr. Leroy Moore, the director of Disability Advocates for Minority Organization that you just heard, is organizing a conference on that is called War on the Disabled, with a special focus on brothers and sisters who are disabled and of color. And I just want to say the community awareness is growing. You have been accountable to us. Stay strong and also stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Recognizing the last speaker on this item, Madam Vice President.
After what I say, I think this will be last. How you doing, everyone? My name is Sylvester Pollard, a.k.a. Steel Seville, and I'm the grand finale for tonight. We can start it off by saying, when I was younger, they had a TV program came on. It was three little kids. They got killed from the civil rights. If you remember, it was two little white boys and one black boy. And they brought up the case later on to where the officers came up and they had charges to where the FBI came in because it got too big. The officers came in and started getting on the commission like just a minute ago. And the FBI had to come in and take over because the city was like just ran by these cops. And they were like, you know, running over stuff. So it's like, to me, it looks like a modern-day Ku Klux Klan to me right now. You know, it's like, they're at you guys' necks, and you guys are trying to tell them to do the thing right. And I don't know what to say here, but you guys are in trouble. You know, it's back to the 60s again, and you guys are sitting up here in the front of this panel. I feel you right now, you know. I respect you a lot for the position that you're in right now, because you have to make a tough decision right now between the citizens of San Francisco and the officers, and that's a tough decision. It's very tough. It is. And I applaud all of you up there right now for that. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Next. No, there's two more. Anyone else who would like to speak on this item, please get in the queue now so we'll know we're going to be cutting it off after these two have spoken. Yes, Ms. Harris.
Good evening. Harry Harris, president of All My Neighbors in Action. And first thing I want to say is, congratulations, Commissioner R. Smith, on your reappointment. Very pleased about that. I'm a family member of a slain police officer. And his murderer is not behind bars. His murderer is not dead. His murderer is out free, thanks to Commissioner King. He was the father of three children who never saw their father. One was 5 years old. He's never seen his grandchildren. And you're asking police officers to risk their lives every day with criminals out there with Uzis. What are we talking about here? Earlier, a speaker came up and she spoke about having more police officers in service for her young son out in the Western Addition. I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't have public safety and then ask officers to risk their lives and then nail them to the wall when they do their job. Mrs. Boyd said no one's above the law, and that's right. And that includes her son. He was not a Boy Scout. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth. My son is biracial. One day he was stopped. There was something that occurred on Ocean Avenue, and he said, Mom, I got stopped. The police questioned me. And I'm like, check yourself out, dude. You've got this hood over your head, your pants hanging down, you're not working. You know, you match the description of what was told. Get a job, get on a tie and a suit, and act right, and it won't happen again. And that's exactly what he did. And that's, you know, he's on a first-name basis. Hello, officer, good morning. I mean, that's what it, you know, to do the right thing, and you won't have a problem. This, you know, you say lack of regard for human life. You say it's not okay to take a human life. Why is it okay to take an officer's life? Why is it okay for them to put their office, their life on the line? And we have grieving families, and that's why people are going, having a ceremony in Sacramento, and that's why the chief is going to Washington, D.C. I mean, that is heavy-duty stuff. And here we're talking about the district attorney investigating the case and no sustained complaint. I mean, what more do you want? I'm just saying that they can file a citizen's complaint or whatever, or a civil suit, but I think it is wrong for the OCC to be pursuing this. Thank you.
Excuse me one moment. This is the last speaker. No, sir. I close this after this speaker. I'm sorry, ma'am, same for you.
My name is Lois Boyd. I'm here on the Justice for Cameron Boyd campaign. I'd like to thank Kevin Allen and the OCC and this police commission for doing what has historically never been done before. One of the things that got me up here is the simple fact that each and every time the police or any of their representatives come to this podium, somehow they want to tie in Cameron's death to the shooting death of police officers. Somehow they try to make it sound as though Cameron has killed a police officer. That's not the case. They stand here and they say he was committing a crime. There's no evidence to prove that. Cameron autopsies, just like Gus Rugley autopsies, showed Cameron had no gunpowder on his hands, no gunpowder residues on his clothes, okay? You can't fire a weapon without getting gunpowder on your hands or your clothes, okay? This lady stands up here, and she doesn't see why the OCC should do their job. She can't figure that out. The voters of San Francisco figured it out. That's why they voted and gave the OCC, the director, the power to file charges without having to go through the normal procedures of which the police department intentionally makes sure the documents and the evidence necessary to investigate properly are never handed over. That's one of the reasons why you have this backlog of unsolved police shootings. It's a game to them. It really is. It's a game that says, don't worry, we got your back. You can go and kill whoever you want. we'll make sure charges will never be filed against you, because we'll just do what we did in the Sheila DeTore case. Okay? They're doing their jobs, and everyone else understands that. But when a police officer decides that their job is to take another person's life and then lie about it, vilify him, go through this, like this guy said, Cameron had a record as long as the Golden Gate Bridge. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He needs to read the records. But for them to stand here and say it's okay to kill a life, take a life, and never, ever, ever worry about it, because, hey, it ain't never been done before in the history of San Francisco. There's something wrong with that mentality. And the officers who breed that mentality really need to be looked into. And all those who support it, they need to go and get counseling too.
That concludes public comment on this item. Sergeant Riley, would you move the agenda?
Item number 12, Madam Vice President, on the agenda is scheduling of items identified for consideration in future commission meetings.
Commissioners, any input for future meetings? Commissioner Marshall? Sure. Commissioner Marshall?